Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. It's Labor Day, and Chuck and Julie are taking the day off, and I'm glad they're taking the whole weekend off and they can relax and everything. This is your guest host, Mark Poff, retired detective from El Paso County down in Colorado Springs. So we're going to talk about cop stuff a little bit later on. John's coming on, and we are going to talk about what on TV is not the way it really is in law enforcement. There's actually a big, long list, and I'm sure you can think of some things of yourself or things you can think of yourself that you're like, I wonder if that's, you know, how the cops really work. Surely not. And most of the stuff, it's surely not. It's not how it works in law enforcement. So we're going to talk about that. So if anybody wants to call in, I'm hoping everybody's enjoying their Labor Day and everybody's watching this later, you know, and not spending time here with me, but you're more than welcome to join me. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can ask any questions you want of John and I later on about law enforcement, whether that's true or not. Feel free to jump in. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, you can just start talking, and that's fine with me. I've got the message thing up on the side so I can see any messages, but I'm hoping that most people are out and enjoying this beautiful Labor Day. I was actually at a party. I'd forgotten all about this. So I told them that I had to actually take off and go do this podcast, and I'm going to take care of this, and then I'm going to go back. And, you know, not too many people have Labor Day parties, but they kind of just have get-togethers where you can all hang out together and stuff. So I'll be going back over there as soon as this is over. But first, before we start talking about the things that aren't true in law enforcement, and you've probably heard me in the past whenever I guest host, I have a big thing about people just being stupid. It just drives me crazy. I guess, you know, maybe when you get a little older, I actually laugh at people. I think it's kind of humorous when they do stupid things. I used to go hang out at a boat dock when I used to have a boat and watch people try to get their boats in and out of the water. That used to be so entertaining to watch people do that. But some people are just stupid, and some administrations, some countries, you know, the way that they're being operated now are just stupid. Like, you know, Brazil and France and stuff going after X and what is it? The other company in France about not, you know, redacting or whatever of stuff that people are saying. Well, it shouldn't matter. You should have the right to say stupid stuff because everybody else does, whether it's on Twitter, X, or whatever, to do that. So I saw this interesting thing, and usually whenever I prep to do the hosting thing, I try to find something. And on Fox News, I saw this one about Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. And Canada's kind of really gone south the last few years, like other countries and even America, since COVID, they're just doing stupid stuff. And so Trudeau, I guess, in Ontario was out walking around with donuts and handing out donuts to people and talking to citizens or whatever. And I guess he ran across the wrong person, this steelworker. And I guess the steelworker just started ripping into him about Canada, you know, and the country and stuff. And Trudeau took a little offense to that. You know, he's the prime minister or whatever. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting, because when you understand Canada and understand the Democrats want to drive America well past Canada, they want full-blown socialism and maybe even communism. I mean, that's the direction, obviously, based on their ideology of where they want to go. So Canada is just kind of in the right direction of where the Democrats want to go. So we can learn from Canada and you know, and how are the citizens and how are people in Canada, you know, feeling? And one of the things we always talk about is healthcare. You know, they have a nationalized healthcare up in Canada. And it was, oh, it's so great. You know, you don't have to worry about paying for healthcare and blah, 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 blah in Canada. You know, it's all run by the government. It's perfect. You know, you can go see a doctor, blah. Well, the people who actually live in Canada, for the most part, will tell you it's not this perfect world. It's all jacked up. So the steel worker started complaining to Trudeau about the high taxes, you know, that they're about 40%. And think about in the United States, federal tax, I believe, on the first for a married couple for about the first 100,000 is only like 12%. And then it's 20%, you know, above 100,000, and then it goes up from there. But so if you're making 150,000 or even closer to 200,000, which would be good money in most places in the United States, you're only going to get taxed probably about 15 to 18% on that money, based on how the brackets work for you. But in Canada, it's like 40% taxes, and that's right where the Democrats want to go. I mean, look at Kamala Harris and what she wants to drive at. She wants to get rid of capital gain. In fact, she doesn't want to get rid of capital gains. She wants to jack it up above most tax brackets. So why would you do long-term capital gains when it's like, I'll just go with ordinary income and it'll be less than capital gain? I mean, it's just stupid. It's stupid stuff. The reason anyone who knows finances, the only reason you have, or one of the main reasons you have capital gains, is to get long-term investing by rich people. The key about what you want to do about your rich people in your country is you don't want to tax the crap out of them, because they're going to come up with other plans. They're smart. They know how to manipulate their money. What you want to do is kind of get that money directed in a direction that you want, which is, I want you to donate. I want you to contribute or whatever, invest in the stock market and long-term capital gains, because that employs more people in this country and helps the middle class people. So if you raise capital gains, they're going to take their money someplace else. They're going to do something else with it, or they're going to get it out of the United States. And then we don't realize any gain from all that financial money that they have. They're just going to do something else with it. So that's just stupid. And then the whole unrealized gains, you're going to tax unrealized gains. That's just stupid talk. And then I heard somebody say, well, that's what your property tax is every year. No, it's not. You're stupid. It is not unrealized gains. I do not pay gains on the value increase of my house. I pay taxes every year, which is calculated by the value of my house. That's true, but I'm not actually paying for the gains of the value of my house. That's how they're calculating my yearly property tax. So when you hear someone say, oh, we already do unrealized gains, it's in your yearly property tax, they're stupid. They're talking stupid because they don't understand how it works. But getting back to this guy in Canada, the thing that he said that so intrigued me out of this whole thing where he's given Trudeau a hard time is he says that he has no doctor. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, how can that be? How can it be that you don't have a doctor when they have nationalized health, you know, care? You know, that statement shouldn't be true. And I started thinking, you know, even with the way it is here in America, you know, we have our doctors and then we have insurance who pays the doctors. Some doctors work for certain, you know, companies and or whatever. But I've always, through my entire life, you know, I've had multiple doctors, but I knew who they were. I could tell you their name of my primary care physician. And when I had an issue, I went to that doctor. So here's someone who's actually working at a steel mill or a steel worker in Ontario, Canada, telling the Prime Minister of Canada, I don't have a doctor. And I really think this is something that needs to be looked into from the standpoint of, are you telling me that national healthcare means you don't have a doctor? You have to kind of just show up at a clinic and get whoever you get instead of someone who's worked with you for 10, 20 years that knows me? I mean, I actually tried to get a younger doctor at one point because I wanted them to be a doctor. I didn't want to hit like 60, 65 and then have my doctor retire. So I got this younger doctor. So like, hey, I want you to be around when I'm 60, 70, 80 or whatever, because you've been with me the whole time. I want my doctor who knows what's going on with my system, you know, with me, with my body, and has all of my history and goes, oh yeah, I remember 5 years ago when you had this issue or whatever. So for someone to say from Canada, you know, I don't have a doctor, or I can't get a doctor, or I can't see a doctor, whatever his point was he was trying to make, to me, that's a pretty big, you know, damn reason we want nothing to do with national health care. And at the end, you know, he made a statement, and this is, I think, verbatim. First thing he says is, when Trudeau said something to him, he goes, I don't believe you for a second. So he just basically calls Trudeau a liar. But then he says, he stated that he felt unemployed, got better access to affordable health care than he did. Now, isn't that true in America right now? I mean, people that aren't making very much money at all, they get on Obamacare or Affordable Care Act or whatever, and they get health care for like $150 a month. Well, I got news for you. My wife and I are paying about $1,500 a month because we're both self-employed to get health care. So, you know, is that a system that somebody who's unemployed gets, you know, better access to health care or more affordable health care than I do? Why can't, how come I can't get that sweetheart deal? You know, but whatever. So I just thought that was really interesting that, you know, everyone, not everybody, but a few of your liberals talk about, oh no, Canada's doing great with their national health care. No, they're not. I mean, this guy is openly complaining about the high taxes that pay for that, that he doesn't get anything for it, and that he has no doctor. No doctor. That's crazy. So I'm rolling that over to what I heard Kamala Harris say. And I thought this was kind of interesting. So she did her first sit-down interview with her her care puppy or whatever. So, you know, her emotional puppy dog that she had with him so she could feel better about this. And he had nothing good to say either other than just lying. But I think Kamala Harris actually at one point during that interview spoke the truth. She actually said something that I think is fundamentally a truth that she said that is so true about her. And I think we should all believe her at what she said during this interview. I believe her completely in what she said when she said, when she started getting questioned about some of these flip-flopping things, she said, let's be clear, my values have not changed. I believe her 100%. And I've always said, you know, when I was on a school board, an elected official, I've always said it's okay to compromise so long as you don't compromise your values. I mean, that's the point. You should have some core basic values that are your values. You know, here's my values, what I believe in, what's important to me. And when I said on a school board, it was always important to find out what are the community values that we need to incorporate as a school board into our school system, into our public education. And that's really what I was looking for. What are our community values? What are our values as school board members? What are my personal values that I base my whole life on? I can tell you, for me, one of the things that I really base my values on is integrity. As a cop for 17 years, and now working for defense attorneys for the most part as an expert, my integrity is everything. It's everything that makes who I am. If I'm willing to sell my integrity or change my integrity and everything, that value is core to me. That integrity is the most important thing that there is. So what are these values that Kamala is saying when she says, my values haven't changed? I believe her. So what she's telling you is that the values she had back in 2019 and 2020, when she was running for president on that short-lived trip, and just understand the Democrats have nominated someone who's never won a primary, not got any primary votes. They basically subverted their own constitution or their own policies on picking somebody. So they're not even following their own rules. So obviously the Democrat Party has no values in doing this whole thing. The only reason Kamala Harris is their nominee is because she had access to the money. They realized that they were not going to be able to spend the Joe Biden money on anybody other than Kamala Harris. And they just didn't believe a little foot race at the end was going to work, and then she would fall away because she'd get her ass handed to her, that all that money would go to the way. They'd have to donate it to charity or whatever. They couldn't use it in someone else's campaign. So they had to all get Kamala Harris. That's why they all stood behind her and said, oh, Kamala's wonderful. They hate her. She's not who they want. She's too close to Bernie Sanders, which is why they went with Joe Biden to begin with. It's because they wanted to squeeze Bernie Sanders out back in 2020. And so they all jumped on Joe Biden. But now, I mean, the stupid them for picking Kamala Harris. I mean, that was just, they're stupid people. So now they have to get on the Kamala Harris bandwagon. So now they got to fix this train wreck. She is a complete flipping train wreck. And so they have to fix this. So now they've come up with, oh, no, she's, following Joe Biden. And if you notice where she said about fracking, let's just pick one here real quick. She was talking about fracking, and she said that Joe Biden will not ban fracking. And she said this back in 2020 when she was running. She never said, I have changed my ideology. I have changed my values. I believe fracking is now a wonderful thing. No, that's not what she said. She said that Joe Biden would not ban fracking. And then she said, as vice president, I didn't ban fracking. Well, you don't make a decision. Vice presidents don't do anything. And she said that Joe Biden didn't ban fracking. Well, they did ban fracking on public property, on public lands. So don't get all behind this thing that they're all of a sudden they're pro fracking. They're not. They banned fracking on day one on public property. And they also got rid of all these leases on public land. And understand this, like up in Alaska, they all talk about the ANWR and all this land where we could do all kinds of drilling. And they're like, oh, no, you'll ruin this pristine land. You need to go up there. I just got back from Alaska 2 weeks ago. When you get up on the northern slope, this is a barren wasteland. And all that they need to drill now that they can do horizontal drilling is they need access to a little bit of a real estate about the size of like Cincinnati, downtown Cincinnati, and an area the size of Ohio, basically, maybe even bigger than Ohio. They just need this little bit of area, and they can drill all this oil from underneath and not even touch this pristine wasteland, this barren land up there. So they're not going to damage anything. So don't say anything like Joe Biden's not going to ban fracking. He did ban fracking on public lands. That's my understanding. He also, I think, banned offshore drilling and all kinds of stuff. So they're anti-drill. I mean, they're anti-energy. They ruined everything that Donald Trump, I mean, we were independent. They've ruined it. She even made reference to it. We need to help our European neighbors with their energy. How can we? You guys banned us selling natural gas to them. You've basically pushed them towards Russia. So this is all BS on their part. So when you hear Kamala Harris say that her values haven't changed, let's talk about her values. Let's go through it. Got a nice little list here. Her values from 2020, because they didn't change. She told you the other night, her values didn't change. Gun buyback. She wants to ban all guns and take them. Not one of these, we're going to ban all future sales of gun or certain types of gun. That's not what she said. She wants a buyback. If you understand what the nightmare is of that stuff, you're going to start knocking on doors and say, we want all your guns. And what if the person says, I don't have any? Are you going to go in the house without a warrant? I mean, they know that I used to be a cop. So are they going to knock on my door and my answer is going to be, I have no guns to give you or sell you or whatever? Are they just going to come in my house and say, dude, you used to be a cop. We know you have guns. Do you have a warrant? This whole gun buyback thing is a disaster and it's against the Constitution. So her values, which have not changed, are to break the Constitution. She does not believe the Constitution is a sound document. She's not going to follow the Constitution. She's going to buy the guns back, which is unconstitutional. Mandating electric vehicles. She's already said that she's for this, for mandating electric vehicles. This is one of those things that gets, they talk about so many Pinocchios. For me, it gets, you're stupid. She gets the, you are incredibly batshit stupid, because there's not enough electricity to go all electric. Even Elon Musk said, no. Big problem. We still got a long ways to go in technology. The batteries weigh too much. They don't last long enough. You know, they're just all these things that make mandating electric. And she's made it very clear the future is electric and that she would mandate electric vehicles, just like California. Roger, dumb, stupid person out in California, Newsom, you don't have the infrastructure to juice those cars. You're stupid. So that's another one of her values. No private health care. She's made it very clear. She raised her hand during a Democrat debate in 2020 where she said that she would get rid of all private health care. We know this doesn't work in large countries. It's crazy. So decriminalizing border crossings. You cross the border, it shouldn't even be illegal. Now she's saying that there's consequences to breaking the law. She's lying. She told the truth when she said, my values haven't changed. So she doesn't believe what she's telling you now because her values, she said, my values are what they were 3 years ago or 3.5 years ago. Her values haven't changed. So this is her values. Border walls. Border walls don't work. You know, I don't want to have any illegal She called the walls racist. They're not racist. They're a wall. They've all got walls. Guarantee you they do. Guarantee you the VP residence has a wall. So all walls are not racist, but that's her values. She told the truth. My values haven't changed. Already talked about fracking. ICE. She wants to get rid of ICE. She already said that that fundamentally needs to be changed from the ground up. That means getting rid of ICE and starting over. She wants to tax the living daylights out of us. The unrealized gains is unbelievable and most likely not constitutional. But again, what did they do with the school loans? So they started saying they were going to do these, you know, forgiving student loans. And then the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. What did they do? They just kept doing it. They just changed things around because they know by the time it gets to the Supreme Court, it's done. There's nothing you can do about it but say, oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. Well, it's done. So it's the same kind of strategy, which is I'm going to implement things through these executive orders, which everybody just needs to stop doing executive orders. It needs to go through Congress or it doesn't happen, period. But they're going to do all kinds of, you know, these orders, executive orders, and they're going to do stuff. And then the Supreme Court's going to step in 3 or 4 years later, and they're going to say, that wasn't illegal. Knock it off. And then they're going to say, well, we'll just do it a different way. New York has done this over guns for years. They just got shut down a couple of years ago, and then they came up with another law. They know that law is going to get thrown out, but that'll keep them going for 3 or 4 more years. And then they'll just come up with another law that's unconstitutional, and they will keep honest, abiding citizens without the ability of carrying concealed weapons to protect themselves. For you know, you can't rely on law enforcement. This is what I used to always say back when I was a cop. The reason we have cops is to bring body bags. I mean, cops come and investigate crime. It's very rare that they happen to be in the right place at the right time to stop a crime from happening. That's extremely rare. So I just wanted to address that because that's one of the things from an average conservative Republican here, who lifelong Republican, Kamala Harris, I think, spoke the truth when she said her values have never changed. I believe her. Her values have not changed. She's still the radical socialist that she was, worse than Bernie Sanders, and they're stuck with her. So hopefully she won't win, but if she does, oh my goodness, hold on for the ride. So that's enough with politics. I've gone about 4 minutes over time. I'm sure John won't care. I can see that John has joined. So we're going to completely switch things up. That's the end of the whole political side of the house. So John and I, if you can bring John on, we're going to talk about what on TV is not true. And we should have a whole bunch of stuff. In fact, John, we were talking earlier today. I've got a huge list now of things that are not true on TV. So we can talk about a whole bunch of things. I can go through my list if that works. And then sure. You tell me what. And here's kind of the difference between John and I. John, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you as well. Happy Labor Day.
Yeah, you bet. So I'm having a good time. You probably weren't on when I was saying I forgot I had a party to go to today. So I got to end this up and go back to the party after this is over. But And talking about experiences, just so you understand where John and I came from, it's kind of interesting because John and I both spent the majority of our law enforcement careers in investigations, where you typically investigate crime. I spent a little time on the road. John pretty much was up in the... John's the brains behind the works. I always say I'm the brawn, he's the brains. So John was pretty much like a supervisor and leading all kinds of investigations. And so some of these things, I might have a little more experience, if you want to say that. And some of the things that I have on this list that are more towards the street. But the thing to understand about John is John actually went through... what is it? The SWAT training? Is that the class that you went through?
I went through, yeah, a few different trainings, but that was surprisingly, yeah, the brains of the operation went through SWAT training. Imagine that.
Which I did not. Who was smarter?
I'm not gonna. I'll go with you.
But so there's some things about that, and John just has so much more experience. But one of the things I want to start off with, which is probably the most boring part about the whole thing, where John and I are both massively experienced, is you see all these shows like Law and Order and stuff where they talk about inside the courtroom and you actually get to see the prosecution and the defense and witnesses testifying. And, you know, you've seen like Perry Mason and all these other shows where there's all this drama in a courtroom. Well, I'm here to tell you, and John, I want, you know, we've both testified numerous times under oath on the stand. Is it very exciting or is it boring?
Well, I think it could be very exciting for the person sitting in the hot seat.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I think, you know, overall, the process, you know, is, I mean, how do you describe it, Mark? I mean, obviously, the burden is on the people, right? So the burden is on the prosecution. But yeah, I mean, cases can somewhat be boring. I mean, I will tell you that, you know, if you've never had an opportunity to sit in on like a homicide case or a sexual assault case, I mean, there's a lot of very interesting things that go on in that, right? It's not just the eyewitnesses. You tend to have experts who will testify, and just, you know, their expertise, you know, is not normally seen in everyday types of work, right? I mean, it's a unique experience. So, you know, I would tell you, you know, when you see it too often, then probably it does tend to get a little boring. But I
but
would
is
tell
it
you,
like TV? Is it all the
no,
drama?
No, I mean, no,
all the
yeah,
time?
You don't.
When the DNA guy is explaining DNA or fingerprinting, is that just like, woo, that's exciting?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the, you know, what you see on TV, I mean, you know, unless you're watching something that is, you know, a documentary that follows the courtroom, I will tell you that the vast majority of the shows are fairly inaccurate, right? The there is no Perry Mason moments because, right, the government has an obligation, right, to provide everything in their investigation. They call it a Rule 16. So everything in discovery, that is, when we say discovery, everything that had been found during the course of the investigation, from the moment that there's an allegation of a crime happened all the way throughout up until the trial happening, right, has to be turned over to the defense. And so, you know, there should never be any kind of Perry Mason moment, because, you know, the defense is fully aware of everything that the government has. Now,
they
if there
should
is
be.
Going to be a Perry Mason moment, right, there may be, you know, something that comes up from the defense side, but the defense has an obligation also, right, to report their witnesses and their experts. But as far as what the witnesses are going to say, right, that doesn't necessarily have to be turned over like what you would see in a, right, in what the government is required to do. And what I mean by that, right, is sometimes a witness, if they've never been interviewed by law enforcement, they may get that Perry Mason moment where, you know, hey, I didn't realize that they were going to say that on the stand. And then they find out that, you know what, we never interviewed that person. So, of course, they're going to say things that are kind of surprising and probably more driven in the fact that it's a defense witness. So, therefore, right, it becomes a surprise to the prosecution. I will tell you, I mean, you know, teaching at the university, We purposely bring kids into the courtroom, and I will tell you that, the vast majority of them find it to be extremely exciting in the sense of just the process, right? That, hey,
Make them sit there for a week and
yeah.
then see how excited. I mean, John,
Right.
this is kind of my point. We got to go a little quicker because I got a big long list here.
Okay.
To me, what you just explained was
He's
boring.
bored.
So, and you're explaining the highlights of being in a courtroom.
Right.
I
Right.
think the whole process is downright. Now, I've had some judges yell at me, and then
Yeah.
it gets a little more exciting. So let's move on because, man, I don't
Okay.
know. That was boring.
Okay, sure.
So we got a whole bunch more.
No, that's
So
fine.
I did patrol for a little while, and I will tell you, I'm not going to get into the specifics. 80% of patrol is boring. When you're out on patrol, you're trying to find people or whatever, and you're trying to find something to do. You're trying to get a speeding ticket, and you think that it's so easy to find people speeding. It's actually not that easy unless you're on the interstate. So patrol can be extremely tedious for 80, 90% of the time. Now, here's something I know we both can talk about, because we both had this happen. You watch in the movies, and they'll pull out a taser, and they'll taser somebody, and they're down for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not how that works.
That
A
is
taser is
not it.
electrical. When you taser someone, they are down and out immediately. And then as soon
Right.
as that electrical pulse ends, you turn the taser off. They're back up and back in the fight.
That
So
is
when you
correct.
see in the movie someone getting tased and they're out for 30 minutes, not how that works. Now, on the other side, pepper spray or OC spray or CS or whatever. I was just watching a show. I can't remember which network, doesn't matter. And she sprayed this guy with pepper spray or whatever she had. And he acts like, oh, this hurts and burns and all kinds of stuff. And then 5 minutes later, it's like they don't even mention it anymore.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stain them because typically pepper spray, they have a stain in it. So you can, like, if you got it in the face, you'd have an orange face. And they show them that they're back in the game within 5 minutes. You had the really bad OC and stuff, a lot worse than I got. And how long do you think that it affects you?
So I've gone through all three that you've talked about, being an arrest control instructor. So I will tell you that. The taser, for me, was a temporary pain. Although I will tell you that it was painful in the sense that, I took the 5 second ride. So typically that is the maximum amount of time when the probes shoot out of the taser and it hits your body, right? It closes the circuit and now you're tased for that 5 seconds. And then after that, you can be dry stunned. That pain was gone, like you said, right when the tasing was over. I've been CS, which is, that what they you normally see on TV where SWAT teams shoot this canister into a room or a house. And, later on you see people coming out and they're coughing and sneezing and all that other stuff. I will tell you that that is also fairly temporary in that normally goes away in about 15 to 30 minutes, with some nice cold water running on you. I will tell you personally, the worst experience that I've ever had was the OC, the oleoresin capsicum, which is pepper spray, right? What they use on bears and things of that sort. Well, we have in law enforcement a fogger, right? You can fog like a cell, or you can use the stream where you stream something like across somebody's face. And I will tell you that for me, it was hours after that the actual burning sensation, subsided. And people always go, well, what does that feel like? And I always, I don't really know how to equate it except maybe taking the hottest peppers that you've ever had, maybe some ghost peppers, jalapenos, and some habanero, and mix it all up, and then just say, okay, I'm going to open your eye, open the inside of your eye, and just go ahead and rub it all up in there. And I will tell you that that's the closest that I can think of. But even that, I would tell you, will pale in comparison because the Schofields on a cat, on an OC spray is much higher than a jalapeno or an habanero or a ghost pepper. It's just an awful feeling, Mark. So yeah, on TV, you're not going to recover. Although I will tell you, and you've seen it. We've had some inmates, or we've seen some potential suspects, who there is no effect, right? There were CS had no effect, or a taser, they're literally ripping out the probes out of their chest.
Right.
You've seen people who get sprayed in the face, and within a few minutes, they seem to be okay. I will tell you, if you're recovering from that, you're subhuman, you're not human, because I would rather get tased from here to Denver every 5 seconds than I would to get sprayed with OC. OC was just a very uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move into some of the exciting things you see when you watch Starsky and Hutch and some of these other shows.
Sure.
So, both of us had about 17-year careers. I can tell you, I was never officially in a high-speed chase during that whole entire 17 years. Now,
Okay.
you see on TV some of these cop shows, they're in high-speed chases like every week. And
Right.
it's like, that makes great, like Starsky and Hutch, that makes great TV, but it
Right.
just doesn't happen. There's just not high speed chases. We're not trained to shoot from vehicles. That
Right.
never happened. So
Right.
there is no shooting from vehicles. Now, if they're shooting at you, that has happened once, I think, in the whole time that I can remember that we had a deputy that was shot at. That might have happened a second time, but I don't think they returned fire from their patrol car. So that's just make believe.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, high speed chases. I've only been involved in one. I don't know. I remember, Mark, there was a murder here in Black Forest, where a guy killed his girlfriend, and then if you remember, he parked the car outside of a couple's home and went in and killed the wife and injured the husband.
Right,
We
yes.
were on, we were out pretty late looking for him. We ultimately found him around midnight up in the Monument Black Forest area, and we actually got into a high speed pursuit with him. He ended up crashing the car. But part of we've it's been a while since we've gone through an academy, but what I would tell you is, from the academy on, you're trained about the liabilities that exist against an agency. And so it better be a very good reason, right, of why you're involved in a high speed pursuit. I mean, the likelihood of somebody getting hurt by you pursuing them going speeds 80 to 100 miles an hour, or over, are pretty scary. I don't know if you just saw in the news, Mark, there was a story of a state trooper, I believe it was either in Michigan or Minnesota, here over this last month. He was, I think, a state patrolman, and he had been involved in four prior high speed pursuit accidents. Well, the last one, he killed an 18-year-old girl who was just getting to graduate, ready to graduate from high school. She was the high school cheerleading captain of a school, of a local school, and he had a rider with him, and he was traveling an obscene amount of at a obscene rate of speed, and ends up crashing into this Ford Focus that was occupied by four people, including this girl, killed her. And so, you're right. The reason why there's not, a lot of pursuits is the liability is far too great for the agency. So it better be somebody who's involved in some, pretty horrible crime, like a homicide, for you to really warrant the continual pursuit of somebody, which is
Yeah,
what we
and
don't see a lot of.
definitely most agencies, if not all agencies, have a no pursuit with a rider. So if
Right.
he had a rider on board, there shouldn't have been a pursuit. And the
Exactly.
fact that he's crashed up like three times before that, I mean, it's ridiculous, to do a lot of that stuff. They do occasionally happen,
They do.
where you got to
Very
go
rare,
after
though, like you
people.
said.
Yeah, and a lot of times cops need to drive a little bit fast, so that's why we have lights and sirens to get everybody away from us. But typically high-speed pursuits are not like on a weekly basis. That's not how that works.
Right.
Now, briefly, you see a lot of these shows and the cops go in and then they start fighting constantly and then using all kinds of excessive force, and that just doesn't happen.
Well, it shouldn't happen.
Well, it shouldn't happen. I mean, if
Right.
you get one of those few people, cops are are trained to de-escalate everything. And they say the old term 9 out of 10 times. It's probably more than that, like 99 out of 100 times you can de-escalate and not have to fight. And it's very rare. I haven't seen any excessive force in my career. that I can remember off the top of my head. It's just not like on TV where you see some of these cops where they go in. If you watch 24, that's ridiculous. That show is not based in reality at all. But there's not, you know, they try to make it sound like there's all this excessive force and that cops get in fights all the time. That's just not true.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, over our careers, I mean, there's probably you can count on one hand the number of times that there was excessive force use, but you're right. It's not commonplace. We purposely go through, you know, there's a reason why there's you know, there's state regulations for law enforcement, right? Colorado has the POST, which is the Peace Officer Standards and Training. And one of the biggest things that they, you know, that they really promote in, during the training, in order for you to certify a police officer, is that they have arrest control training. They have to, you know, defensive tactics, arrest control, right? They learn statutes, they learn driving, they learn, you know, shooting. But part of that defensive tactics is exactly what you're saying. One of the first things you're trained is how to de-escalate a situation, not escalate. And that's
Right.
why, right, a sign of a really good cop is their abilities to diffuse a situation, not create more turmoil or you know, agitate the potential suspect even more.
Right. And one of the other aspects, John and I were both basically with investigations for the majority of our time. You see on TV shows every week they're drawing their weapon because that's cool. It's cool to draw your weapon. That's just so cool. And then
Right.
you occasionally see in some of these shows, and The Fugitive is the one that used to drive me crazy with, was it Tommy Lee Jones as
Yep.
the U.S. Marshal? Every time he drew his weapon, he had to rack the Glock because he was carrying a Glock. He even said, you know, you need to get a Glock, son. You know, that's a man's gun or whatever. And of course, you know, we carried Glocks, and there's always a bullet in the chamber. Every cop that is a cop, unless there's some kind of wannabe cop, there is a bullet in the chamber.
Correct.
Nobody draws their weapon and racks their gun. That's not how it works. And,
Right.
you know, drawing your weapon all the time. Now, we drew our weapons, I would say, more frequently than patrol from the standpoint of whenever we executed a search warrant.
Correct. Correct.
I don't know if it was the majority of the time, but a lot of the time when we executed warrants, you don't know what's on the other side of that door. And I'm
I
not.
would tell you, I don't remember. I can't recall a single time where we didn't draw our weapon on a search warrant. Because like you said,
Right.
right, that element of surprise,
We don't know what's on the other side.
that's right. And people know their homes better than we do. And so the whole
Right.
idea is, you know, let them know that we're at the door, right? You do your knock, you announce that there's a search warrant. But yeah, we're armed, we're ready to, you know, engage if need be. Once the scene is secure, then obviously, right, our weapons go in our holster. But you're right, you know, and I will tell you, Mark, in lieu of a lot of things that are going on right now across the country, most agencies today actually require their officers to write a report if they draw their weapon or they use some level of force, right? If they were to draw their OC or their baton
Taser.
or their handgun, all that is written in a use of force report, in conclusion of that interaction.
But what's the problem with that? Now, I think there's a problem with that. If you have to write a report every time you draw your weapon, you're not going to
You're
draw
not
your
going to
weapon
draw your weapon. Either
because you
you're
don't
not
want to
going to
write a
draw your weapon
report.
or you're going to lie that you drew your weapon, right? I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's created potentially some safety issues for the officers because now it's like, do I write a memo? Do I not write a memo? Instead of evaluating the circumstances to say, okay, right, this person continues to keep their hands in their pocket. They're known to be armed. Like, why would you not draw your weapon, at least to ensure your safety and the safety of any third party? And then after that's done, then you can holster and know that, okay, we're safe. But I agree with you. I think it only will lead to more officers getting hurt because they're worried about writing a memo.
Right, exactly. So here we can go through a few of these relatively quick.
Sure.
Giving up your weapon. You see all the time that the bandit is holding a hostage and they're like, you know, drop your gun, kick it over here. You know, a
Yeah.
cop is never going to give up their gun. That is just not going to happen. And in
Not gonna
fact,
happen.
what really, you know, I'd like to see a show where a cop, you know, he's got a someone that they're holding a hostage and they got a gun to their head or whatever, you know, give me your gun or I'll shoot them. And it's like, dude, you might as well shoot them. You know, I'd like to hear, of course, you could never say that, but it's just like, dude, here's what's going to happen. If you shoot that person, I'm emptying my magazine into you right afterwards.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So we need to reevaluate who's really got the edge here. In fact, it's just a bad situation because if they have it to somebody's head, they could just turn it and point it at you. And now what are you going to do? So the whole situation's bad. You see it on TV all the time. Cops sure. do not give up their guns. That doesn't happen.
And a lot of times, right, the SWAT team is called in prior to something like that. If you know that you have a third party who may be a hostage situation, right, that's where a SWAT team does their negotiations and it gets to that point. Typically, your patrol officer or your line level patrol officer or detective is not going to be encountering those right. kinds of situations.
And if it's SWAT, the infamous statement, if you look here recently in a lot of SWAT situations, they've taken some good, amazing shots.
Oh,
so
yeah.
that would be handled a different way.
Right.
Detectives do not show up typically at critical incidents from the standpoint of, you know, you watch some of these shows and it seems like the detectives are out on the road or, out in the community. And all of a sudden, you know, they show up at
right.
this critical. Detectives are called in after the fact. We're sitting at home if it's after hours, or we're sitting down at the office, and then we get called. Detectives get called, and it's, hey, guess what just happened?
Right, that's typically the case, right? Unless
yeah.
it's a situation where you or I, right, we're on our way home, or we're coming from another location, and there's a lack of resources. Then potentially you could be one of the first people that arrive on a scene. But like you said,
it's rare.
It's very rare.
So how about this one? I love this one. Every time an off-duty cop, not off-duty detective, every time we walk into a 7-Eleven, we interrupt an armed robbery. I mean, that happens on TV all the time. It's like every
right.
time Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry wants to go get his breakfast, his cup of coffee in San Francisco or whatever, he would break into an armed robbery and then have to kill everybody.
Right.
That's never happened that I know of.
Right.
Definitely not to me or stuff, but it happens on TV all the time. It's like
right.
every time they walk into, off duty or whatever, somebody's got a gun. Kicking in the doors all the time.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. You know, I've kicked in a few doors. Here's the biggest problem about kicking in doors. They make doors pretty well now.
Yeah.
Kicking in doors is only going to cause you to have medical issues.
Well, I mean,
and
anybody, exactly. And you know how that works, right? We typically would have a RAM. We just had a backup
yeah.
RAM that we would borrow from the SWAT team, right? And that's what we would use to kick in a door, right? It was
yeah.
using the RAM because, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you remember, Mark, kind of a blast from the past, but remember when we used to do a lot of work with U.S. Postal? It's a memory that will always stick to me. But you remember Inspector Scafidi, big guy,
Yep.
right? Big dude.
Yep.
And he's sitting, we're getting ready to raid this house. There's a search warrant and he's got the RAM and literally he's probably hit this door. I'm not exaggerating, probably 15, 20 times. And you could tell he was starting to get exhausted. But like you said, there's no way if a RAM ain't working, there's no way your leg
not
would have
kicking
been
it
working,
in.
right? You're not
And
kicking it
usually
in.
what's funny is when you use a RAM and if you use it right, it's not the door that submits.
Right.
It's the door frame that
That's
ultimately
right.
submits to the pressure, the physics of the
Yeah.
RAM.
Yeah.
And
And the reason for this was the guy had put his couch and a desk up against the door. So he literally, there was no budging initially. I mean, eventually
right.
we got it open. But like you said, could you imagine you have Bruce Lee up there, kicking at the door multiple times and that door doesn't budge a little bit? We don't kick
We don't
doors.
waste time for that. Typically, we
No.
don't try to kick in the doors. Usually, if nobody answers the door, a lot of times we'll walk around the house and see if we can find a window
Exactly.
or a slider or something
Yep.
that we can get into that's easier. And you know what? Again, 9 times out of 10, we
Right.
find a way into the house and we don't
That's
kick the
right.
door in. Now, I've seen the sledge,
Right.
RAM or whatever
Yep.
you. It is pretty effective on most doors.
Right.
And just so everybody knows, law enforcement is not responsible to pay for fixing your door or door jam or whatever. That you are on your own. You know, if they have a good search warrant, and they want to get in your house, you're going to be fixing your house yourself. So this is the one that is one of my favorites, is you always see on TV where they'll go into a house or whatever. They're going into something, let's say a house. And then they get their flashlights out and they got their guns out with their flashlights and they're walking around the house. I will tell you, we turn on the lights. You don't have to leave the lights off. Just turn all the lights on. Don't waste your flashlight battery. You can still use your flashlight if you want, but every time you see in the movies where they're walking around, because that adds to the drama, and then the bandit comes out of nowhere, I'm thinking just turn the lights on when you're searching. It usually goes better.
Yeah, I mean, typically, right? I mean, that whole element of surprise. I mean, have we done searches where there was no light? Absolutely. It's but like you said, to add more dramatization to the movie, they do that with a lot more frequency than probably you would see on a normal basis.
So,
Yeah.
how long does it take to get a DNA result?
Well, I will tell you, it's gotten a lot better. Back in the day, in our day, right? It was literally months. Right. I mean, if you were lucky, you could put a rush into something and maybe get it back within a week. Now they're saying that, depending on the case, you can get it back with probably in 24 to 48 hours, depending on the state you have and the agency that's available to do that. Like some larger agencies have a DNA, lab already available if they, they can do the analysis. But this hour thing, they were really trying to push that towards the end of our careers, Mark, and I've never seen it, but to say it's not being done today, I would be surprised if you can get a result within an hour.
Yeah, I mean, to
In
me,
fact, I would
it was
tell you it's
usually a
probably
month or
far-fetched.
two
What's
at
that?
best. It was a month or two at best. Now,
Yeah.
if they've got it down to a week or a few days, it's definitely not a commercial break,
Right.
or typically it's not going to be the next day, even on a homicide.
Correct.
I
Yeah.
mean, it is getting quicker, but they've been doing this for a long time on TV where they're like, hey, we just got the results of the fingerprints or DNA. Fingerprints is a little different. You can run it through IFAS, is that right?
Fingerprints through
CODIS.
APHIS. Yep. And then DNA through CODIS. Correct.
Right.
Yep.
You can run it through, and I remember on one we had, I think we had a high-speed chase going on actually from a bank, and I was told to go down and get some fingerprints that they had gotten off of a check or something at the bank. But then the whole thing ended, and it's like we know who they are, obviously, because we've got them now.
Right.
So fingerprints you could do a little quicker. The whole tasting of drugs, oh yeah, that's cocaine. Nowhere based in reality. We don't have a bunch of high cops going around tasting drugs. That
Right.
doesn't happen at
Yeah,
all.
we have field kids for that that
We
will
have field
test.
kits for
Yep.
that.
Yep.
There's nobody that's cutting it with a little blade and
Right.
then, yeah, that's coke, baby. I know
Right.
it from my experience. Yeah, that
Right.
just doesn't happen.
No.
What's interesting is, and actually we've kind of come almost to the end. I will say that with, and I've done a lot of interviews and interrogations. They're pretty boring, just like court. There's no big drama moment or anything. There can be, but they're usually extremely long. You don't go into somebody and set them down and say, all right, Tommy, we got all the information. You need to confess. And they're like, okay, that's not how that works. It takes hours sometimes to get someone to start giving you the truth of what really happened. But
Right.
one thing here, kind of to wrap this up, and I don't know how it was with you, but all my neighbors and friends knew that I was a detective. So you had all my neighbors, you had, I was on a school board, teachers, I mean, just friends of the family, just that whole extended, friends and family in the area. I don't know about you, but I constantly got bugged. Now,
Yes.
I don't know if they talk about this on TV or whatever. I mean, literally, I'd be up all night working a homicide or something, and then somebody or some event. And then the next morning, someone calls my wife or calls the house, and they're like, hey, did Mark work on did he work on, I heard there was a shooting last night. What's going on? And it's
Right.
like, first off, I'm not going to talk to you about the shooting.
Right.
And
Right.
so first they'll bug you about, hey, what happened last night? And then they'll also call you up and say, okay, my sister's cousin's brother's uncle was, had a little event driving. And so would you recommend that he cut a deal or
Right.
try to fight it? And it's like,
Right.
I don't know anything about his case. Well, can he give you a call and discuss? And it's like, no, I
Right.
don't want, you know, did that,
Yep.
if
Yeah,
you had the
we get called about all the legal advice. Were they allowed to do this? Could they seize that? Was it okay for them to question the people in the car that were in the car with this person? And was it okay for them to ask for an ID? Was it okay for this? Was it okay for that? You know, hey, we know you were involved in this, but you know, can they actually do that? And it's like, you know, like you said, you would get frequent calls about that.
right.
Now all of
And
a sudden, we're the lawyers, you know, we're the lawyers and
I still
experts.
do get it a little bit.
Yeah.
So, hey, I know you work for the defense now, so can you tell me how to get out of a DUI? Yes,
Right.
I can. Don't drink and
Don't
drive.
drink and drive.
I can solve that problem. Have somebody else drive you. Uber.
That's
What a
right. Yeah.
solution.
Yep.
So I still get it a little bit. And we actually get phone calls to wrap this up. We've only probably got about another minute or two.
Okay.
We get calls from attorneys.
Yes.
Who will actually ask us, you know, we've got 4 minutes, who will actually ask us, hey, you know, I was just reading this police report. Do cops do this? You
Right.
know, I get that from attorneys all the time. It's
Yeah.
like, hey, you were a detective for 10 years. You know, can cops do this? And it's like, well, only if they want to be bad cops, you know,
Right.
only if they want to violate someone's constitutional rights.
Yeah, you know, you had asked me about, you know, what are some of my thoughts of some things that are really, you know, not based on reality. I think, you know, if you look at it, you know, there's a lot of things we see on TV where there's a big violation of someone's Fourth Amendment right. Right. Where, oh, we don't need a search warrant, right? We're the police. We can just come in here and do whatever we want. Yeah, that's not based on reality. The other thing is, you know, when you seize a suspect, right, that, you know, they still have rights, right? They have the right to remain silent. They can use their Fifth Amendment right to, you know, for self-incrimination. And you always see that, right, where there's no advisement of Miranda, right? And so, that's obviously, you know, something that's very commonplace that's you know, you see that, you know, no, you don't need to read any rights. There's rights that are always read. You know, there's Sixth Amendment right, the right to an attorney, right? Once somebody mentions attorney, Mark, how many times have we seen on TV where
Oh,
somebody goes, oh, I think I need a lawyer, and they continue questioning.
yeah, you don't need a
Cruel and
lawyer. You
unusual
need to
punishment.
confess.
That's right. You know, the Eighth Amendment with cruel and unusual punishment. You always see the big lights, and we're going to make them sweat, and we're not going to feed them. And, you know, we're really going to beat them down, right? Almost like you're going to waterboard them before you get them to, you know, before we get into the interview or the interrogation. That obviously doesn't happen. But yeah, the Fourth Amendment is probably the biggest thing that we see where people, right, as far as the unreasonable search and seizures, we're protected by our constitutional rights, right, in America to not allow law enforcement that they just can't come barging into
Right.
your
And one
home.
of the things you need to know, this may be something that everybody helps, so we made you wait for 58 minutes to hear this, is when you get pulled over, if they ask you to search your vehicle, and just, you know, say, hey, with all due respect, I don't completely understand all my rights here because I've not talked to an attorney about allowing law enforcement search my vehicle. I would rather decline and not have you search my vehicle because I don't understand all my rights. Or if a cop talks to you and said, hey, I need to Mirandize you, and he goes, hey, with these rights in mind, do you mind talking to me? You can respond, with all due respect, I think this is a matter that's pretty important. And I think it would be important enough that I need to consult an attorney before I waive any of my constitutional rights. Wouldn't you agree with me if you were in my situation? Now, the cop, now you've just turned it on the cop. But I
Right.
guarantee you, every cop would say, hell yes. If I
Right.
were in your situation, I wouldn't say a word to me. So just be respectful and don't say, oh, hell no, I ain't talking to the popo. Just sit there and say, look, with all due respect, I don't know all my constitutional rights, and I think this is a pretty serious matter. So I think it would be better for me to consult an attorney before I make any official statements.
Yeah, and you know, my position on that, Mark, is you don't even have to, you know, yes, it's always nice to use respect and be courteous to your local law enforcement, but the reality is if they ask you know, having these rights in mind, do you want to talk? Just say, no, I don't want to talk. I want my attorney. That's it. It's over.
I want an attorney. I do not want you to search my vehicle. I do
Yep.
not.
I don't
And
want you to
whenever they
search my
ask you to
house.
search your vehicle, you have to be free to go.
That's
So when
right.
they say, can I search your vehicle, and say, am I free to go? Because if I'm
Right.
free to go, my answer is no and goodbye.
The other
So,
thing
all
is,
right, we're done.
we're done. Okay, no
We're done.
worries.
I just got the word. We're going into overtime. So, hey,
Okay.
everybody, Wednesday, see Chuck and Julie. I hope everybody had a good time today talking about cop stuff. Maybe we can do it again in the future. Have a great week, and I'll see you soon.